people don't know what they're doing with their data. And that's why there's such a issue, and why third-party cookies and just the, and then obviously that impacting just data that you buy, it's going to have to radically change, because we've allowed these companies that we don't even know, that know as much about Sean Doyle and as much about Will Riley as we do, because we have consented to all these websites that we've been on.
Welcome to Aligned with host Sean Doyle, the podcast dedicated to helping emerging middle market companies pursue growth and bridge the gap between their sales and marketing. In today's episode, Sean continues his discussion with Fitzmartin's Revenue Operations Director, Will Riley, on the upcoming internet privacy changes. How can you set your organization up for digital success? Find out on today's episode. If this is your first time listening, we encourage you to subscribe and leave a rating and review. We'd really appreciate it. Now, let's dive in.
Hello, welcome to Aligned. I'm your host, Sean Doyle. Today we have a guest, Will Riley. Will is an expert in revenue operations. We're going to talk about the practical outcomes of this journey we've all been on, where we bought into marketing technology. We loved the idea of predictive analytics and being able to see what was happening on our websites and our emails. We wanted to see and get business intelligence from what's happening. We wanted databases and CRMs to work together. All of these things were built around technologies that now are at risk, cookies and data and privacy. So what is the practical advice? What should you be worried about as a business leader around these battles? What are the risks to you? What is the impact on marketing? What is the impact on sales? And ultimately, what is the impact on your revenue? So we've invited Will to speak into that today. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having me, Sean. Excited to dive a little deeper into data management and cookie policies.
Love it. Let's start by sharing your story, the wake-up call that happened to you last year. It's incredible, and it's going to happen to more and more people.
Yeah, absolutely. Google Ads obviously is a major advertising platform and strategy for a lot of clients, a lot of our clients, particularly with Google search. And our client had a privacy policy, had a cookie policy, but we did not have a cookie policy or even a platform specific policy on our website. So we actually got flagged because of this client's faith that they represent. And you know what? It's too much.
Will, I'd love to start the conversation with an incredibly relevant, scary thing that happened to one of our clients last year. You dealt with it. You got an email from Google. What happened?
They were going to be at risk of losing their advertising rights in the platform. And talk about an email that you don't skip. Doesn't go into the junk folder or spam filter.
Was this something that the firm did wrong? Was this something, it was an egregious or ugly ad?
No. It was simply a lack of clarity around a new policy that Google had implemented. So, you know, we talk a lot about privacy policies, cookie policies. We'll touch on a little bit of that later on the episode. But they're actually within the platform, there are specific amendments and additional policies that you have to consider before you start advertising. A great one is, if you're a bank or credit union, there is a rate clause with Google Ads. And if you do not have a compliant rate clause in your privacy policy, then your ad will not get approved. It'll get rejected.
So, Will, it was the terms and conditions. You're talking about down at the bottom of the website, there's this little button that says terms of use. I don't know that I've ever clicked on it, but when somebody's buying an ad through Google or through any of the other platforms, Google and Facebook combined probably represent 80-90%.
Yeah, right.
You know, of all digital advertising. If you don't understand what's in your own terms and conditions on your own website, Google, Facebook, other platforms are going to look and they will shut you down. So shut you down. What's that mean? That means they won't let you place ads through their platforms or through their networks, which can reach out into all kinds of publishing.
Yeah.
That means they're turning off traffic to your site.
Yeah, in a lot of cases, and I know if you do a deep dive into your analytics, we know this with a few of our clients. If you turn off paid search or the other campaign's UTM filter, tracking code parameter, I mean, you're getting no traffic to your website. So paid traffic is a major traffic source that just boosts websites. We know that. I think our listeners know that. But when you get looked at a rejection email or a potential violation email and a causality email, and if you don't fix it and to think about the biggest publisher in the world blocking you, it just hits a lot harder whenever it's you and you're not reading about it. And that was our wake up call, is that it actually hit one of our clients last year. And what we had to do is what we're going to talk a lot about on this episode, is we had to do some practical boots on the ground efforts to make sure that we were in compliance so that we wouldn't get rejected. Because without Google and Facebook in this market, it's really hard to reach our target audience.
Well, and I really want to make sure that listeners understand, when you say Google, you say Facebook, you're also talking about networks that use those platforms that aren't even using Google's name, right? There's a distribution, there's an auction, there's a marketplace for digital advertising that's occurring within those parameters. So the wake-up call, I mean, I want you to hear this, listeners. The wake-up call is you could get an email saying no more ads and it's going to go away. It's going to evaporate. But tell me what happens. Well, you get the email. Does it happen that day? Does Google, tell me how, in our case, what happened with Google? What's the process?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. It really starts with what the issue is. You got to address the rejection, if you will, or the violation of the policy. For us, it was not a platform policy. So we had a good enough policy in place on our website that we were in compliance to advertise on the Google network. When you go to the specific audiences that we were trying to filter and target and segment by, we actually did not have an updated clause. And it's deep. I mean, it is very deep within their policy section. It would take you weeks to read through all of them, and months, even probably years, to really understand. And they're constantly changing it based on regulatory boards, updates to terms and conditions. And then as platforms such as Google and Facebook are getting a lot of pressure from governmental, whether it's on the U.S. soil or international waters, they are making updates that we do not see. So it is very important that before you place an ad, that you make sure that before you're going into market, that you're in compliance with the current version and language of the policy.
Okay, so let's play that out. We have clients in the United States, in Canada, in Germany. We have clients who are selling in the Middle East. We have clients who are selling in Asia. We have clients who are selling in Europe. So there's the policies, the EDU, there's the governmental section, or there's governmental legislation from those governments. We're not even talking about that. We're talking about the governance within the ad platform shutting
right.
you down.
Right.
So how do you do this? Retargeting, for example, is something that probably everybody gets, right? Everybody listening knows that if a visitor comes to your site and they leave your site, then we can deliver ads. Let's say they came to the page and spent a little bit of time looking at the color green, whatever that green is. It could be your right. product, your service. So that ad's then going to follow you when you're on the Wall Street Journal or whatever you're looking at. That retargeting then could happen when you're in another country, in another state, in another
right.
nation, in another. And that complexity is what you're saying is shutting people down now, or is going to more and more.
Yeah, right. No, absolutely. And that's where you've got to be, you got to look at it at so many different angles now. So you have the platform you're advertising in, you have the audiences within the ad platform, and then you've got to look at the people that I'm marketing to, do they travel? Are they abroad? What countries are they in? And you've got to really cross-check your existing policies and make sure that you have something written about how you handle that data, first party or third party, in those different countries. Because again, this is becoming such a bigger, more talked about issue, the more that these tech giants are getting pressure from the legislative boards and groups. Even our own government and the U.S. is doing that, because 2023 is not even a year away. And there's going to be drastic changes in how we deliver ads. So if we aren't setting ourselves up now, preparing for, it's not doomsday, but it's just a different day. And I think that we've got to make sure that we have the parameters in place so that when those changes do happen, that we're still able to deliver quality content to users that need it.
So on your to-do list, what I'm hearing is every business out there needs to be thinking about this and diving into it. It's not as easy as buying an ad. You can just buy ads, and a lot of people do, but that's changing. There's going to be legal implications. There's risks to your business. There's risks to your revenue. If you ignore this, platforms shut you down. You lose 60, 70, 80% of your website traffic, and that's where you're making your money, or it's at least influencing a sale.
Yeah, right.
Now, you've just abandoned. You've gone back to the dark ages. You're out of the game.
Right.
It's a high level of risk.
I hope they just show up.
Exactly. So is retargeting dead?
It'll just morph. Right now, a lot of third party is leveraging other domains than your own website. So when they're delivering an ad to you, it is pulling from a lot of third party sources. So that, in some ways, the form of retargeting that we know now will cease to exist. Retargeting will look a lot differently next year, primarily with lookalike targeting will probably stay. Contextual advertising.
So you just used a bunch of terms there. What's lookalike? What's contextual?
Yeah, absolutely. So lookalike is finding users that are similar.
Demographic, psychographic.
And behavior. So what's the intent? Do they go to one page versus two page? Are they going to a high value contact us page or a low value white paper page? So they look at some of that level of detail when they're delivering that ad. So frankly, retargeting that we know today will not exist next year. It'll just morph and evolve. That is, we'll be in compliance to whatever happens in 2023.
Whether you use a CRM, marketing automation, advertising platforms, or anything else, keeping track of your current marketing technology can be challenging. And if you need assistance sorting through your existing tech stack, Fitzmartin's MarTech Audit is here to help. Fitzmartin will audit your organization's currently utilized technology based on 7 categories, analyzing how your organization's tech components are used to see if you are allocating the proper funding to each criterion. The result? It delivers robust ROI savings through reduced tech fees, recommendations for future technology, and more time for your marketers to do their jobs. For more information, check out our show notes or visit fitzmartin.com. It's no secret that maintaining an adequate cookie policy is integral to successful marketing. But because of constantly changing laws and regulations, it might seem impossible to protect your organization from potential violations. The takeaway? 2022 will be defined by the policies you put in place now. Fitzmartin sourced compliance copy from major tech companies like HubSpot and Google to craft a boilerplate policy to help you stay compliant. It's a great starting point before you pass it on to your legal team. Remember, the information provided in this resource does not constitute legal advice. Get your cookie policy started on the right foot by visiting fitzmartin.com today. As data compliance laws become more stringent, many organizations will soon have non-compliant CRM data. Maybe you have insufficient first-party data, or you bought information from an improperly validated third party. However, you got it. Fixing it before the 2023 deadline should be a top priority. Fitzmartin's Wake the Dead program takes dead CRM prospects and applies a behavioral science model to re-engage them into your pipeline. In this process, you can reclaim old prospects or delete old ones, giving you a clean and compliant database with new opportunities from previously forgotten contacts. By retargeting with email and text automation, clients you might have considered dead or unresponsive will move forward and become potential prospects once again. For more information, check out the show notes or visit fitzmartin.com.
Let me change a question, because there's some really interesting things. We focus a lot around business to business, and we've found some brilliant strategies where we can use geographic data where somebody has been. So, for example, weather.com is an app. It's on my phone. And when I use that app, I know I'm giving it permission to track. Apple gives me the ability to turn that on and off. And over. But yeah. if I at least have to give it the ability to track when I'm using it. And then weather.com has the rights, which is owned by IBM, which is probably why IBM bought it, right? It's a data play.
It's a data play.
Is IBM interested in weather? Maybe. They're interested in the data. And there's probably 1,000 ways they use that data that I don't even have a clue. So me as a business owner, I can buy, this would be third-party data, right? I could buy people who have been into this geography, into this state, into this store, and maybe it's a plant. Maybe I can buy data of every phone that's gone into a specific geography and then deliver ads. So I heard of an NFL team using this. If you'd been in, or a car brand actually, if you'd been inside this particular NFL stadium, you were going to get ads, or you were going to get in-stadium ads.
Right.
For products you could buy in stadium. So there's this live stuff going on. Is all that gone?
In some ways, yes, because how did you get it? Did they tell you? I mean, they consented to the stadium, but then did they know that they were consenting to the stadium to then go to the ad platform, to then go to ESPN to deliver to your phone?
And that could even be localized Wi-Fi. And there's a world of technology that we can't get into, but where you've got Raspberry Pis, then the device that I'm looking at on the wall that's our security system has a little thing in it that actually knows whether my phone has been in this office or not, and it has nothing to do with my app, weather.com.
Right.
It has to do with my Bluetooth talking to that Bluetooth. Now my security system knows that I've been here, right? So there's all kinds of applications or ways this data is happening.
Right.
But did I give my security system permission to sell the data that I've been in this building? I bet I did.
I think you did. Well, and that's the problem, is that people don't know what they're doing with their data. And that's why there's such a issue, and why third-party cookies and just the, and then obviously that impacting just data that you buy, it's going to have to radically change, because we've allowed these companies that we don't even know, that know as much about Sean Doyle and as much about Will Riley as we do, because we have consented to all these websites that we've been on.
What about other forms of geofencing? Is all geofencing outlawed in the future? Crystal
it's,
ball.
It's hard to say, because the biggest things that we're seeing right now is Google ending third-party cookie storage in the browser. That's not even the tip of the iceberg. That is just the ball is starting to form snow and it's starting to roll, and it's going to continue to cascade. So we're really starting and seeing the first implications of that with third-party cookies.
I want to make sure that you shared with some things in your evaluations around privacy, also the real practical application of your tech stack. So everybody's got a marketing tech stack, a sales tech stack. There's implications there. There's implications with the API integrations, open APIs and integrations of different technology. Can you walk through that? Because that's got to be on the punch list of...
No, absolutely.
And even buying ads, right?
This is not buying ads. This is just the tech.
And what tech is it, for example?
Well, this is super beneficial for listeners, but we use AdRoll a lot as a primary third party that delivers through the Google networks, the Facebook network. So they have an open API with some of the biggest ad publishers in the world. AdRoll is fighting on anyone who places ads with them on their behalf to make sure that they are in compliance with Facebook and Google's legal team. So we have actually had ads get approved that we didn't have to go through a submittal process. We didn't have to get with the legal team. AdRoll represented that for us and actually expedited our go-to-market strategy. So there's really two ways to look at it. One that we're just talking about is a publisher. How do we get our ads in market? If you go direct with Google or direct with Facebook, it's going to be really important, if you can, to apply for a rep. Have a Facebook rep that's an expert that looks at your account and knows your account and can guide you through that. If you're just DIYing and you don't have a rep and you don't have a policy, you're just going to get shut down. You're going to get rejected. You're not going to pass the filters. So I think it's really important that you make sure that you're set up for success. So that's the publisher route, the direct route. And then really the third that evolves the tech stack is investing in a CRM or marketing automation that enables the ability to be in compliance with regulation. So one of our best examples is HubSpot has integrated within their system the ability to enable compliance for GDPR because they're an international global company. And a lot of our clients' websites use that tool. They just, it's a, you know, there's some back end marketing sorcery and magic that has to get done to implement that, but they've already done the legwork for you. So if you're just a standalone website, not leveraging sophisticated tools like a HubSpot, that'll also put you at risk of being in compliance too.
Interesting. Are there problems with different tools in your tech stack integrating and talking to each other? So for example, if you've got a marketing automation and a CRM and maybe a video tool, like a Vidyard or something, they're all talking to each other and sharing data.
Yeah.
How does that impact privacy?
Well, and it's interesting because even this week there was a video compliance email that we got from one of our HubSpot clients that extensive video marketing tracking is no longer meets the SOC2 compliance code within HubSpot, and they're looking into it. So if you're looking at additional video attribution, their legal team and their devs are having to work a little bit harder behind the scenes to enable those features. So yeah, there are third-party API integrations that will be affected when we look at what the platforms do with that data. So it's really important that you invest in a tech stack that is simplified. And if you do need to find a third-party tool, that there is a native integration between that system so that you're not at risk of it being turned off.
All right. So I'm an executive. I'm cruising down the road. I've listened to you talk about this. I understood some of it. Some of it I don't get. Some of it sounds pretty complex. Give me like 2-3 things I need to go to the office and ask my marketing team or call my agency and ask them. What do I have to? Because I've got, this is a timeline, right? This is a deadline. It's
it
coming
is.
At
it's
us.
It's a deadline. It's literally a deadline.
I may not even know it's coming at me, but it's coming. Right.
Yeah. Do you buy data? Any data? Is it for a campaign, for research, emails, trade show? Are you buying data and information? If you are, what are you doing with it? Third question from that
even
is,
beyond what are you doing with it? I mean, are you looking at whether the data sets you're buying are from a compliance source?
Are you
asking them what evidence, what proof, what validations, what certifications do they have that it's legal for you because you carry the risk if you send the email?
If you buy a list and Sean's name is on it, your name's on it, and you get an email and you did not give approval for the email that you just got, you're in major violation of a privacy.
All right. So I heard that 3 years ago. 4 years ago, and these big threats of hundreds of thousands of dollars of fines, but I never saw it happen. What's happened this last year and will happen this current year is the private right of action laws, meaning states are going to come in and give individuals the rights, because before it was a federal level law, and that was a fine or regulation from enforcement agencies that had no enforcement arms, right, or very limited resources. So now I'm going to have, I get stuff I don't want. I can file a civil lawsuit in the scenario you just gave me. I can sue you on a civil level, at a state level. That's going to change the game. So when I've been using all these bot lists, it felt pretty safe. I don't know that it's going to be coming up because of this right of action laws that are being passed.
And there will be more acronyms that we'll have to memorize, just like we did.
All right, that was number one. Number two, what's my next go home and make sure I'm doing this right?
Do you have a privacy policy? Do you have a cookie policy? And then are you advertising on these platforms that we talked about? I bet chances are you don't have legal documentation explaining what you do with Google. What you do with Google Ads.
You mean on my website available for people to read and see?
That's right. It's got to be public. It's got to be public.
So having a policy on my laptop doesn't help.
Stored away in a closet under a shoebox won't hold up.
Okay. That's great.
it's got to be updated. It's got to reference the tools that you're using. It's got to reference the intent of the tools that you're using. And then if you're storing and capturing any data, it's got to reference that.
And I know you are passionate about this because you dealt with it. You got that wake-up call last year from Google. So I know you've created a template that people are welcome to reach out to you at sales@FitzMartin or will@FitzMartin and just ask you for it. It's not legal advice, but it's a basis upon which you can go to your lawyer and say, here's some directional.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. One is a privacy policy, more standard intent. And then the second would be a cookie policy, which is more platform ad specific. And we think those are great resources for the listeners to take advantage of.
All right. And then to wrap, what's the last bit of advice? I think you were thinking about tech stack.
Yeah, I would say start vetting out your existing technologies from a marketing perspective and ask, are they in compliance to the existing acts that are out there? So CCPA and GDPR are two of the biggest ones right now around data privacy and data management storage. And, you know, if you're a HubSpot user, you cannot send an email without saying there was prior consent.
Well, there's a question to ask. Go back and ask if somebody in your marketing team is just willy-nilly clicking that button, even if there's not consent, because guess who's liable? So you better have some internal policies.
You are.
Yeah, you got to have some internal policies. So if you, I think one theme I'm hearing and one theme I see, and admittedly, this is a selfish or a self-promotional comment. I see people who are, you mentioned DIY. I see people who are buying their own ads and doing their own stuff. And that's fine if they don't want to pay our fees or don't like our markups. That's great. I get it. Do it yourself. We don't believe that we're magical and do something that nobody else can do. But we do believe we add a tremendous amount of value. And these are demonstrations of that value that don't come to mind when I walk down the hall to my marketing department and say, hey, let's try some of this Facebook ad stuff. Let's try some Google ads. Let's buy an email list. The sales guys come home from the trade show and say, here's 5,000 names. What do I do with them? You know, can we send out an email blast? You know, that stuff is been pretty safe in my opinion.
Totally.
And
has.
It's getting ready to change.
Get ready.
Get ready. Thank you, Will. Appreciate your time. I know people will have questions, and I know that you are a great resource. So how should they get in touch with you?
Yeah, they can email me at will.riley, R-I-L-E-Y, at fitzmartin.com. You can obviously submit an inquiry on the Fitzmartin website, so fitzmartin.com/contact, and we'd be glad to answer any questions around this topic.
All right. Well, thank you for being a guest. Thank you for the shameless self-promotion.
Of course.
But I really do believe that the intent is that this is going to happen to a lot of people, and it's going to happen to them, right? Which is never feeling very good when it happens to you.
Right.
And that this will help. So you informed me of a lot of things in preparing for this. So
yeah,
thank you.
Of course. Absolutely. Thanks.
We sure appreciate you listening today. If you would like to get in contact with today's guest or stay in touch with us, visit our show notes. Additionally, to get the latest strategies for the alignment between marketing and sales, visit fitzmartin.com. As a reminder, if you have found value in today's episode, leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, or your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, thanks for listening.